Good morning. It is July 3rd, 2009, and you are listening to a special encore presentation of the Brain Labor Report. Here today, right in our heartland, and across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true, but they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers. War on the workers.
Death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon's solidarity. Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. When they boost your copay,
war on the workers.
Don't you know what to say?
War on the workers.
When they talk privatization,
war on the workers.
And cooperation,
war on the workers.
When they call you a team,
war on the workers.
You better learn how to scream.
War on the workers.
Oh, that's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. They can lock us out, they can lock us up. We cannot give in. Flexibility.
War on the workers.
Every worker stiff can see.
War on the workers.
Now when they poison your water.
War on the workers.
Don't pull like lambs to the slaughter.
War on the workers.
And when they foul up the air.
War on the workers.
You gotta show that you care.
War on the workers.
When they talk WTO.
War on the workers.
You best be screaming hell no.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on child labor protection. It's a war on the 8-hour day. It's a war on occupational health and safety. It's a war on social security. Now thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF, and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Yeah, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time, sisters and brothers, you know it's time right now.
Okay, and Feeney starts off a new edition of the Brain Labor Report. This is Wes Brain. I'm the host of the show.
This is Jason Houck. I'm the engineer.
And it's the 3rd of July, 2008. Folks, we're taking tomorrow off. We're volunteers here with the Brain Labor Report, and it was either go on strike or get a vacation day, and we negotiated a vacation day. We're really happy about that. We'll be celebrating the 4th of July, and we're going to be talking about the 4th of July and our freedoms today on the Brain Labor Report. We have an exciting show for you. I'll tell you a little bit about it in a couple of minutes. This is Wes Brain. I'm the host of the show. Did we do it twice?
Yes, did it twice. This is Jason.
We did that yesterday. We're still here. We're still hosting and engineering the show. Near the top of the half-hour show, the Brain Labor Report, we like to bring you the workers' independent news. 3 minutes of cutting-edge news out of Madison, Wisconsin, and we're proud to bring it to you today for July 3rd, 2008. Here is the workers' independent news.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. 79,000 more private sector jobs vanished in June. Layoffs are 50% higher than a year ago. The June jobs loss was the biggest drop in jobs since November of 2002. That's according to ADP Employer Services. When the government's comprehensive jobs report is released Thursday, some economists are expecting it to show an incredible drop of 200,000 in the overall jobs count. Officially, unemployment was at 5.5% in May. That's the highest in 3.5 years. These numbers are a sign that for workers, the economy is continuing to get worse. It's official. The world now has the first global union, Jesse Russell reports.
With companies stretching around the globe, it was only a matter of time for organized labor to realize it needed to also span the circumference of Earth. On Tuesday, the United Steelworkers and Great Britain's largest labor union, Unite, signed an agreement to form a new union called Workers Uniting, the Global Union. The union includes 3 million workers in the U.S., Canada, Britain, and Ireland. In a press video, Unite's General Secretary Derek Simpson explained why the global union is necessary.
At the end of the day, that's got to be the objective, how we fight back against global capital, multinational, global companies.
Unite Steelworkers President Leo Gerard said the union will strengthen the power of current members.
The significance for our current membership is going to be that they're now going to be able to have an expanded voice to be heard all around the world.
The AFL-CIO says John McCain's trip to Colombia and Mexico in support of trade deals show how out of touch he is with American working families. The Labor Federation says trade deals like the proposed Colombian agreement have decimated jobs in communities across the U.S. The Teamsters, meanwhile, have launched radio ads blasting McCain's trip. Wages and working conditions are at the heart of the trucker strike by Teamsters Local 282 in New York City. The strike by 400 cement truckers has shut down most of the city's major construction projects. The new Yankees and Mets stadiums are among the affected projects. The union is seeking an improvement in both wages and working conditions. Further talks on the contract aren't expected until next week.
Here is today's economic report. 9 out of 10 Americans are feeling more than a pinch in their wallets due to rising fuel prices. A study from the Associated Press found that two-thirds of those polled think rising fuel prices are more important than the economy, healthcare, and the war in Iraq. As a result of the gushing prices, most are driving less and finding new ways to save on energy costs, such as using less air conditioning.
Get labor news on your cell phone. Just dial 425-527-7001. That's 425-527-7001. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And this is the Brain Labor Report. Folks, this is 94.9 FM, our low-power FM radio station. We call it KSKQ right here in Ashland, Oregon. And we're a project of the Multicultural Association of Southern Oregon. You might be listening to us via the internet, www.kskq.org. And briefly, our guest today is going to be Dave Fidanke. He is the executive director of the ACLU of Oregon. Great time to have him today as we celebrate the 4th of July and our freedoms. We still have some of them, but boy, they are being chipped away. Okay, we'll be talking to Dave. We're expecting him to call us. We hope everything goes perfect today on the Brain Labor Report. And we got a song that we're going to play, and Ann Feeney's going to sing for you. Have you been to jail for justice? And well, let's go with that right now, and we'll see if we can get that phone call from Mr. Fidanke. Okay, have you been to jail for justice? Here we go.
Was it Cesar Chavez? Maybe it was Dorothy Day. Some will say Dr. King or Gandhi set them on their way. No matter who your mentors are, it's pretty plain to see. If you've been to jail for justice, you're in good company. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine. To this song. Laws were made by people and
and people can be wrong. Once unions were against the law, but slavery was fine. Women were denied the vote and children worked the mine. The more you study history, the less you can deny it. A rotten law stays on the books till folks with guts defy it. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine. Now the law is supposed to serve us, and so are the police. When that system fails, it's up to us to speak our peace. It takes eternal vigilance for justice to prevail. So get courage from your convictions. Let them haul you off to jail. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways to take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Will you go to jail for justice? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine.
Okay, Ann Feeney, have you been to jail for justice? And we appreciate that song, and we do have our guest on the phone right now. Dave, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
We hear him all right, Jason? Okay. This is KSKQ, and our guest today is Dave Fidanke. Dave is the executive director of the ACLU of Oregon. Dave, thanks for being our guest on the Brain Labor Report.
Sure.
Well, we're glad you're with us today. This is the 3rd of July. Tomorrow's the 4th of July. We're taking the day off on the show, and we're going to be celebrating our freedoms here in this country. The ACLU works to protect those freedoms all the time. Could you give us a little bit of, I'll ask you about the ACLU, but Dave, first tell us about yourself a little bit, please.
Oh, well, I've worked for the ACLU since here in Oregon since 1982, and I've been the statewide director in Oregon for ACLU since 1993, so I've lived with civil liberties and civil rights issues for a long time now.
Wow. Well, that's wonderful work. We are fascinated, I think, looking at your bibliography. We've been checking you out a little bit, Dave. We are fascinated that you're not an attorney.
I am not a lawyer.
You don't have to be an attorney to be involved with our civil rights and our Bill of Rights, do you?
Well, you know, one of the founders of the ACLU back in 1920 was a guy named Roger Baldwin, who was also the executive director of the National ACLU for many years. He wasn't a lawyer either, and people used to say, well, how can you be involved? How can you head up the ACLU and not be a lawyer? And he'd look them straight in the eye, and he would say, you know, just as war is too important to leave to the generals, civil liberties is too important to leave to the lawyers.
Wow. Well, that's a great one. And, you know, there's a number of people who say, well, we got that Bill of Rights, you know, we wrote it and it's sitting there on the shelf and we're all protected. Any thoughts on that comment, Dave?
Yeah, well, I don't think you have to look very far these days to understand that our Constitution has been under attack in a major way for many years, but especially since 9/11 by the Bush administration and Congress. And, you know, ACLU has been growing pretty dramatically over the last 7 years. But there's plenty of damage that's been done by this administration that needs to be undone. Electing a new president is critically important, but it's going to take a lot more than that to restore the liberties that have been lost over the last few years.
Well, there is a place for citizens to play in this, and I'd like to ask you about that, because let me just start with this comment, and please respond to it. I'm willing to give up my freedom for more security. I can understand that the government needs to snoop because we have terrorism we have to take care of these days. So that's okay for me. What about that comment, Dave?
You really don't have anything. If you haven't done anything wrong, you don't have anything to hide, right?
Right.
Wrong. I think it was the late Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis who said that the right to be left alone by government is the right cherished most by civilized people. I think he said civilized men, but that was 1928. And, you know, our privacy, our ability to live our lives without the government snooping on us when we've done nothing wrong is one of the most important principles underlying the Bill of Rights, and one that the colonists back in the 1770s fought a revolution over. There were many other rights, of course, that were at issue, but one of the things that upset the colonists most was the king's troops stopping them anywhere and any time and coming into their place of business, coming into their homes and searching for evidence of illegal activity without a specific warrant naming that person or naming that place. And that's what the Fourth Amendment was designed to prevent forevermore. And that's exactly the issue that our Congress is debating today. The House passed at the end of June amendments to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act that eviscerate the Fourth Amendment if they are upheld by the courts later, because it would allow the government to snoop on all conversations and emails going to or from overseas. And, of course, even that has not the current laws that require some individualized suspicion, not even probable cause, in intelligence investigations and terrorism investigations. Is the very law that the Bush administration has violated flagrantly for the last 7 years. And this bill will not only retroactively make it okay for the Bush administration and future administrations to engage in this kind of warrantless, suspicionless surveillance of email and telephone conversations in the future, but it will grant complete immunity to the telephone companies for their illegal cooperation with the administration over the last 7 years. And we will never know exactly what happened if this bill passes the Senate when the Senate gets back from their July 4th recess.
Wow. Well, that...
You know, we could go on and on. I mean, there are, you know, whether it's, you know, the torture of detainees, evisceration of habeas corpus rights, which finally the Supreme Court has, we hope, put a stop to, but this administration may come up with some other trick before they leave office. It goes on and on and on, the list of horribles.
Okay, well, folks, if you're joining us late, we're speaking with Dave Fidanky today. He's our guest on the Brain Labor Report. Dave is the executive director of the ACLU of Oregon. And what a great day to be talking about our freedoms, be talking about the work that the ACLU does to protect those freedoms. And, you know, Dave, I would like to see a new populism in this country where people might rally around our Bill of Rights. And as our rights are being chipped away at, Dave, maybe it could be the new cause in this country where the average person could realize some of the things you're telling us there, how important these rights are, and we can maybe let our politicians know that that's the number one thing we want them to do, is protect our freedoms. And the way to do it is with these rights that we have. Any thoughts on that, and how do we get people to pay attention, Dave?
Well, I think people have been paying attention. I mean, that's part of the reason why We have more than twice as many ACLU members as we did 7 years ago nationally, and ACLU membership in Oregon has tripled since 2001. We have the highest per capita ACLU membership in the country. Now, that doesn't mean we have, you know, a majority of Oregonians or Americans as ACLU members, but I think it's some indication of the level of concern out there among the general population about these issues. The research that I've seen shows that the erosion of civil liberties is a major concern for most Americans. And I think the politicians have been way out of step on this. But, you know, people are worried about their jobs, too. They're worried about being able to fill up their car with the next tank of gas. They're worried about all kinds of things that have, you know, that are not in good shape in our country today and in the world. They're certainly worried about, you know, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan and the erosion of, you know, good relations around the world. So there's plenty for people to worry about, but they are worried about their individual freedoms and our collective freedoms. And, you know, I think the 4th of July is a great time for people to be thinking about those issues and making their views known. And, of course, you know, we'll be having a parade tomorrow in Ashland and in lots of other places around the country.
Absolutely.
And that'll be part of what happens. And, you know, a guy named Wes Brain is going to be sticking up for your rights tomorrow, and so will the Southern Oregon chapter of the ACLU.
Okay, I want to ask you about that. We've got about almost 22 minutes. We've got about 7-8 minutes left to go on the show, and I'm going to put my other hat on right now, and that's my hat. I'm chair, very proud to be chair of Southern Oregon Jobs with Justice, and for the last couple of years, Dave, we have marched in the 4th of July parade here in Ashland, Oregon. Last year, at the very last minute, we were told that we had to pay extra money because we were a political organization, because one of our members of our coalition is the Pacific Green Party, Jackson County Pacific Green Party, and their banner had been spotted with us in the parade the year before. And the Chamber of Commerce, who runs the parade for the city of Ashland here, they're the ones who told us, you got to pay more money because you're political. We have come to, that really bothered us a lot. We paid that money for free speech last year, and it did bother us quite a bit. We're going to be in the parade again tomorrow. We're really proud to do this. We're going to be marching for our rights, and one of those rights is to say what we want. We've come to the ACLU with the problem that's been posed to us by the city and certainly by the Chamber of Commerce by charging us more money if we are political. The ACLU is getting involved with this case. Would you comment on it just a little bit, please?
Sure. And let me give you a little, and your listeners, a little background. The key legal question here that our lawyers looked into is whether or not this is, in essence, a private parade, you know, organized and operated by the Chamber of Commerce, which, of course, is a private organization, or is this actually a joint operation of the City of Ashland and the Chamber? And our lawyers concluded that it was, in fact, a joint operation. And that is critically important, because if this were a completely private operation, the Chamber could decide who could be in the parade based on all kinds of criteria. And they could charge people different amounts based on what they were saying. And that would not be unconstitutional, because the Constitution only protects us against government action. It doesn't protect us against action by private corporations or private organizations. But in this case, we think the connection between the city and this parade and between the city and the Chamber and the Ashland Chamber of Commerce is close enough that the constitutional rights do protect people who enter the parade, and that means, we believe, that the city and the chamber cannot charge people more money because of the content of their speech. And they particularly can't charge more money for political speech than for other kinds of speech.
Very.
One of our volunteer lawyers, Michael Simon up in Portland, sent a letter on July 1st by email and snail mail to Mayor John Morrison of the city of Ashland.
Yes.
And James Kidd of the Ashland Chamber of Commerce, telling them that we think that this different rate, higher rate for political speech is unconstitutional, and that they should refund the extra money that Southern Oregon Jobs with Justice paid last year and stop this differential charging in the future.
Wow. Well, that is so important, and that's a pretty good thing to be bringing up on the 4th of July. I can't think of a better time to do it, Dave. For folks who are listening and maybe not here from the local Southern Oregon area, the 4th of July parade in Ashland is a lot of fun. We do it locally here. We have a town of 20,000 people, and up to 20,000 people line the streets of Ashland, Oregon for this parade. It is absolutely a hoot. It really, really is. In the past, we've had the dancing wontons from Geppetto's restaurant, and they have a lot of fun doing that. We had marching lawn chairs. We have all different flags, all different causes, not just commercial stuff here in Ashland. You got to hear this, folks. We have all different kinds of political points of view have been a part of this parade. It's only been in the last couple of years that we see a clamping down on what can be in the parade and what can't be in the parade. And that brings us to what we're talking about today. Okay, tomorrow is the 4th of July, and what a great day to stand up for whatever your point of view is, and what an event to do it, the 4th of July. Have you heard anything back yet from the Chamber of Commerce for that letter that was sent and from the city of Ashland? We're still waiting. Or what's going on?
We're still waiting. You know, it was only sent out on Tuesday, so, you know, this is, who knows if we'll hear anything before the 4th of July. I imagine they're pretty busy getting ready for the parade, but tomorrow. But I do want to remind you that the Southern Oregon ACLU chapter is also going to be in the parade tomorrow, and they'll be having a an entry that will remind people about how the detainees are being treated in Guantanamo and urge people to call on the government to close Guantanamo and provide due process rights to the detainees so that they know what the evidence is against them and have a chance to rebut it.
Chamber of Commerce, they wouldn't allow something like that in the parade, I don't think, would they?
Well, they our folks told the chamber what the entry was going to be. Uncle Sam leading some manacled guys in orange jumpsuits down the street in chains with signs saying "Close Guantanamo."
You know, I can understand why people would want to display that, because that's something, I'm an amateur journalist, and I read a lot of newspapers, and that's an area that has not been covered, like some think it should have been covered in this country, and so there's a place it can be shown. You know, we've got just under 1 minute to go. Can you help us wrap up the show in a few words or less here, Dave, please?
Sure. The 4th of July is the celebration of our independence, and part of our independence is the Constitution and our fundamental freedoms. So what a great day to be thinking about the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the separation of powers, and restoring the liberties that have been lost over the last 7 years by the actions of the Bush administration and Congress. It's time to get freedom back for everybody.
Fantastic. We're going to have to say goodbye here this morning. Dave Fidanke, thank you for being our guest today on the Brain Labor Report.
Thank you, Wes.
And folks, for the 4th of July, stand up with spine and be proud to be an American. Help us fight for these freedoms we have. We cannot let them keep slipping away. Okay, we're out of here now. See everybody tomorrow.